Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to BT Centre Auditorium. Welcome for today for the consumer business briefing. Couple of quick notices. First, please can you make sure you switch your mobiles to silent, those who've got them on. And secondly, there are no fire alarms planned for today. In the event that you should hear the sound of the alarm, please use the fire escape to the left and right here. But with that, I'd like to hand you to the CEO of the Consumer Division, Mark O'Leary.
Thank you, Matt. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for taking the time to spend with us today. This is the first in our new series of business briefings, and I'm delighted that Consumer has been chosen as the first division to get them started. I'm Mark O'Leary. I'm the CEO of the new consumer division of BT Group. I've been in this industry almost 20 years. I've launched many things, 3G, 4G, 5G will be the next one. Launched two brands from scratch and worked with four others in this sector. However, I've never been as excited as I have been this week. What we've announced this week is going to change the face of networks in the UK, and it's going to transform the way our customers experience and feel about our brand. Today with all of you, we want to share our exciting three-year plan. We made lots of announcements yesterday, 24 in total. And I'll explain how all of those fit within our strategy. As a group, we set out our strategy last week and also explain how consumer fits within that and how we reshape for the future. We have three great brands. We have unique assets and, most importantly, a great team, some of whom are here today to share our plans with you. And just as a small reminder, we did post some good results, both for Q4 and the full year across consumer and EE last week. This is the last time we will be reporting the two divisions separately. Going forward, we'll report as one consumer division. Now, we've got a packed agenda today, lots to go through. There will be time for Q&A at the end, both in the room and for those of you listening in. So without further ado, I'm going to hand over to one of the team, Andy. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, and good afternoon. I am Andy Howarth, and I look after strategies for the new consumer unit, and I also look after our content and sports rights portfolio. I know all of you will be familiar with our marketplace, but we thought it would be useful to share some of the facts and some of the trends which have shaped our vision for the future. We operate within a mature marketplace with high penetration in each of the four categories that we play in: home phone, broadband, mobile, and TV. We have strong positions in broadband and home phone, and opportunities for growth in mobile, and particularly TV, where we have a 9% share. As Mark will explain in a second, we see convergence as more than just multiplay or quad play. But on this more simple measure, when compared to our European peers, we have considerable headroom for growth. The vast majority of our customers take fewer than three products from us. And we know that when we sell our customers more products, we increase ARPU, we improve loyalty, and we transform their Net Promoter Score for us. Overall, we see significant opportunities to grow. It is a mature marketplace, but it's also an exciting and dynamic marketplace with real opportunities to differentiate if we can align to customers and their needs. Data continues to grow rapidly on all of our networks, an increase of 37% in peak bandwidth on our fixed network alone in the last year, the same in mobile, and Wi-Fi is always growing. Demand for our network has never been greater. We need to build a high-capacity, scale network. But it isn't just data that is growing. We have also seen an explosion of devices. If you went back just a few years, you would find, on average, one device connected to our mobile network and perhaps a few devices connected to our home network. Fast forward to today, and we see more than 10 devices connected on average to our network. And we see that increasing every day, with a 23% increase in smart home devices in the last year. Customers are using our network in different ways. To support these new demands, we need to build a seamless and reliable network, something that can only be done by bringing the best of fixed and the best of mobile together. Behind this data and devices growth, we see content as the key driver of data consumption. And specifically, we see SVOD services entering the mainstream, with an increase in subscriptions for these services of 30%. As these services become more mainstream and numerous, customers are becoming more frustrated with input hopping or trying to remember where their favorite show was. We need to focus on an integrated content offering to help our customers get the most from these services. Finally, the handset. It is hard to believe that it was just 10 years ago that Apple launched their first iPhone. Since then, smartphones have gone on to transform the way we work and live. And for many customers, their handset is their window to the world. Alongside the increasing importance of handsets in customers' life, we have also seen handsets maturing, with customers now keeping their handsets for longer. In fact, 15% and growing of our customer base now keep their handset for more than 3 years. This has led to a corresponding increase in SIM-only subscriptions in the marketplace. We need to recognize the increased importance of handsets to our customers' lives, reassert and reframe the value of those relationships with us. Overall, we operate within an exciting and dynamic marketplace, and we see real opportunities to differentiate. As you have all seen last week, we unveiled a refreshed group strategy. Our new consumer strategy aligns with this, namely to focus on network leadership and a differentiated customer experience. We are already well down the road of transforming our operating model, with the coming together of BT Consumer and EE into a single unit. The new unit came together on the 1st of April, and we believe that we have unrivaled scale and reach to compete in this marketplace. We represent 38% of group revenue and 35% of group EBITDA. We have over 40 million household relationships and 30 million subscription relationships, more than any other provider in the UK by a considerable margin. We manage over 1 billion interactions with our customers every year, providing us with a platform for rapid change We will use this scale within the marketplace through a segmented approach, establishing a multi-brand operating model. We have three great and differentiated brands. Today, we will focus more on the two premium brands as we look to segment and optimize our opportunity within the marketplace. PlusNet remains key to our plans, although its strategy remains unchanged, namely to focus on the value end of the marketplace with simple products, with a great customer experience, all wrapped up in that Yorkshire charm. As well as scale, we believe that we have the assets and the capabilities to succeed. In network leadership, we have the best 4G network with 5G spectrum secured. We have access to the UK's largest superfast network with ultrafast rolling out. And in our Wi-Fi hotspots, which we have over 6 million of, we have an asset to deliver data to customers when they need it most. Combining those with premium content through BT Sport and AMC offers us the opportunity to demonstrate the future of networks, already notching up first in Ultra HD, in immersive sound through Dolby Atmos, and through 360-degree video at the last Champions League final in Cardiff, watched over a 4G mobile phone. Alongside networks, we have the capabilities required to build the platform for a differentiated customer experience. We have the most extensive retail footprint of anyone in our sector, with over 620 stores. We've invested significantly in multi-skilling our agents to support the increasingly broad portfolio of services we now offer our customers across all three of our brands. We have invested in digital capabilities and self-serve. And of course, our people. We have a highly engaged and motivated workforce, and we are extremely proud that EE won the best big company to work for in the Sunday Times this year. We have the assets and capabilities to succeed. We have already made significant steps on this journey. Over the last 6 months, we have increased our focus on value over volume to create the oxygen required to build differentiation and sustainable growth. We are now no longer the lowest priced player in any of the markets or categories that we operate within. As we dial back the emphasis on price competition, particularly on BT and EE, we also minimize the risk and impact of cannibalization within our shared households. So in summary, we operate within a mature and dynamic marketplace. We have real opportunities to grow and differentiate through bringing our networks together with a differentiated customer experience. With our unrivaled scale, multi-brand operating model, and the assets, we are well placed to succeed. I will now hand over to Mark to explain our vision for the new consumer business. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. We announced our group ambition last week to become a leader in convergence. Our vision aims to deliver differentiated customer experience, an integrated network experience and leadership, and transform our operating model. I've built a plan with six pillars to execute against this vision. And I'll take you through each of the pillars during this presentation. Let's start with three great brands. We are uniquely placed to access the market from both the mobile and fixed side. and our three brands allow us to offer more choice to our customers. One converged smart network. We're the only company in the UK that has the best mobile network for coverage and speed, the largest Wi-Fi network, and access to the UK's largest superfast broadband network. And we've announced exciting plans to create one converged smart network this week. Personal and local service. We're a large company with a broad customer base, 30 million in 14 million homes. But I want us to feel and operate like a local company and provide the UK's best personal and local service. Personalization through data and digital. This will allow us to be more personal and relevant, but also be smart to avoid cannibalization across our brands. Best for partnerships. We will take a unique approach to partnerships to give our customers more choice and bring them some of the most innovative products in the market and establish new categories. An open super aggregator TV. We'll embrace the over-the-top opportunity in content and give broader choice to our TV customers. And of course, our ambition for our people is to make this the best place to work with an engaged and motivated team. We are so proud that EE was awarded, as voted by its employees, the best big company to work for in the Sunday Times. And my ambition is to make the consumer division in its entirety the best place to work for all the people on all our brands. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning, we made 24 announcements this week. Worth reflecting on that. And I want to just cover a few of them. I'm not going to go through all of them because we've got a lot to get through today. But some of the key highlights that we'll talk about later. Firstly, the launch of BT Plus, our first converged plan, the first of its kind in the UK. And we also announced our plans to reposition the BT brand, and you'll hear more about that later. You're also going to get a sneak preview of our latest advert before the general public. 100% UK call centres for our BT customers. I've been listening to our customers. I've been looking at the feedback from them. This is one of the most important things we need to move on as quickly as possible, and we're doing it. We've created a new partnership unit, and some of their work will be on show later today as Pete and Max talk to you about some of the new partnerships and categories that we're launching. And Amazon Video on BT TV, the first partnership of its kind in this country to add to Netflix and to Now TV to give our customers the widest choice on our TV portfolio. So we're really excited this week to have announced the launch of a new convergence category, the first of its kind in the UK. I want to take a minute just to explain to all of you how I think about convergence and how we're approaching it in the market. For us, this very much is bringing together the best networks, products, and services into one seamless, reliable service. This is all about focusing on retaining and attracting high-value customers in the marketplace. We've seen good practice and bad practice across Europe with convergence, and we are certainly not in the business of heavily discounted bundles to drive volume. We are all about adding value and a more-for-more approach to convergence. This is going to be our focus. And what you'll see through this approach is increase in ARPU, lower churn as we have more satisfied customers, a step change in our NPS, customer satisfaction, an increase in the number of RGUs, connections our customers have with us. And we have started our journey to what we call services-led Converge plan, BT Plus, is the first service in the UK that brings together fibre and 4G in one place and our best connection in and out the home for BT customers. Now, this is the start of the journey. We call it 1.0. We're already working on 2.0, and Pete will talk to you about how we think about that. You'll see BT Plus evolving and getting better over time. Now, ultimately, the final destination will be a seamless experience for our customers across network, content, and devices. And this could mean, in the future, one plan for our customers' needs across all their devices, something that only we can do. And I'll now walk you through each of those six strategic pillars which will enable our vision. Starting with three great brands. Keeping three brands increases our consideration in this market by over 50%. It gives our customers more choice but helps us appeal to different customer segments. Each brand addresses a different customer segment. BT customers demand reliable products, peace of mind, and they are generally older than our EE customers. And our relationship with them starts in the home. We call this home-centric convergence. I'm going to talk more about this later. EE customers are digitally savvy. They live their lives on their mobile. They want flexibility and innovation. We'll offer mobile-centric convergence for them. You'll hear more about that later. Plusnet customers want no frills. They're not interested in the latest technology. And that brand will very much remain focused on the value segment. And with each brand addressing a different segment, we'll be able to maximize the opportunity in the marketplace to create value for our business. Our big focus today is on the EE and BT brands, as Andy's already said. Now, I'd now like to take you through how I see our customer base within the overall consumer market. We have 10 million homes with a relationship with only one of our premium brands, with no cross-brand overlap. Those are split approximately 50-50 between BT and EE households, around 5 million each. So our first priority is to create deeper relationships with these customers. In the BT-only households, we'll sell BT Mobile for these homes, but also upsell TV and new categories to increase the relationships we have with them. In the EE-only households, we'll attract completely new broadband subscriptions and upsell new categories such as smart home or tablet. There are 3 million homes where we do have a relationship with both EE and BT brands. In parallel, we will use the data and digital capabilities we'll talk about later to minimize brand cannibalization for those customers. And the risk of cannibalization will also be lower, as Andy outlined before, as we pull away from any discounted-led approach. We also have an opportunity to establish a relationship with the high-value homes within the 30 million homes that have no relationship with any of our brands today. 13 million homes. And the right elements in our portfolio to drive growth in this section of the market will be a stronger TV portfolio with more choice, stronger converged offers, and of course, improved service and brand credentials to broaden our appeal. Moving on to our smart network. We are the only operator in the UK that can build a smart network of scale by combining fixed and mobile and Wi-Fi. And we're going to create a single smart network. And this will give our customers seamless connectivity wherever they are, faster speeds, and greater reliability. We've been working on lots of new network capabilities, and I'll take you through each of those in turn. Firstly, building the broadest and best 4G coverage in the UK. Increasing our customers' time on 4G to over 98%. The emergency services will be using this network. We'll be extending our voice platform, the IMS platform, that brought Wi-Fi calling and 4G calling and allowed us to launch the Apple Watch on 4G before anyone else in this country, into more devices, including the home. And this will enable numbers and content and customers' identity to move seamlessly between devices and networks. We'll be replacing the decades-old home phone network with state-of-the-art IP voice, opening up new possibilities for how you use your home connections, like being able to use your TV or your smart speaker as your home phone. We'll be amongst the first to launch 5G in the UK in the places where our customers need it most. And remember, 5G will be built on a 4G foundation, and our foundation is the best, covering more places with faster speeds than anyone else's. We'll be refarming 3G spectrum for 4G and 5G. We'll be upgrading our premium Wi-Fi estate, giving our customers seamless access when they need it. They'll never need to ask for a Wi-Fi password again. And ultimately building a single core. This is the brain of our network. This will mean for our customers they're just connected wherever they are. We worry about the technology and the network. They can just enjoy what matters most to them. And we'll also be launching a converged hardware portfolio. We've got a video that talks about that later on, and we're really excited about that, bringing mobile and broadband together. We talked to you about personal and local service. As I said before, we're a big company with a huge customer base. But I believe we can feel more personal and more local for our customers. And the announcements we made this week really show our ambition to improve service in this area. We're committed to answering 100% of calls in the UK and Ireland for the BT customers by 2020. We know our customers are significantly happier when we speak to them with our UK team. They're more likely to recommend. They're less likely to leave. We have a strong base of very digitally engaged customers. We have 1.5 billion visits to our digital estate every year, more than 10 million active users across our digital estate, and almost 90% of our service interactions are already done through digital. EE is number one for self-serve adoption in Western Europe. We are also announcing this week the launch of the most personal expert setup service in the UK. This is unique, where we will come to you. And we're also committed to having a retail store within 20 minutes of 95% of the UK population. We will be expanding our retail stores to 650 by the end of the financial year, but keeping costs under control through new retail formats and improving the value that we generate from those stores. I believe retail is key for convergence. We also have a competitive advantage where the entry barriers are high. All international case studies where value has been driven over volume show that retail helps drive convergence. It helps showcase all new products and services to customers brilliantly in our stores and helps upsell and cross-sell. It's a really relevant channel. And if you think about regional rollouts of new technologies, it's really helpful for them. It's also great for mobile phone customers for whom instant repair, setup, swap devices become more and more important. BT is returning to the high streets in our EE stores. We'll be providing BT products and services, focusing initially on broadband, but then opening up the full portfolio and service capability over time. We're trialling a number of different formats, from flagship stores to portable trucks that can go right to the heart of local communities, even in rural areas. Then we talked about data and digital. This is really key for optimizing our marketing, segmenting our base, and we'll be improving on the capabilities we already have to provide a truly personalized service, giving us a 360-degree view of all our customers on all our brands, being able to provide fully personalized and authenticated offers to them. This will be great for customers. They'll be able to upgrade their tariffs in three clicks. So this will help us reduce cannibalization, upsell and cross-sell, drive efficiencies, and minimalize cannibalization. Yesterday, we also announced the launch of a new consumer partnership unit. This is dedicated to bringing our customers the most exciting products and services in the market. Our scale creates a unique platform for our customers. We're a one-stop shop. We have unrivaled distribution, relationships with half of the UK's households. We can accelerate go-to-market for our partners. We can give our customers the most innovative products and services. And it's early days, but already the team have got to work. We're launching new products in EE stores, like the new smart home range you'll hear later from Max. We're enabling our customers to add purchases onto their mobile bill. It's a really great way of us monetizing our network and our scale. Moving on to super aggregated TV. I'd really like us to think about TV and sport as two separate businesses. TV is an opportunity for us to increase the number of products our customers take and build deeper relationships. Sport, for me, is about monetizing our fixed costs further. If you look at our TV business today and our offerings to customers, we offer around a third of the most relevant content that they're watching. There's a 70% gap. What we've announced this week will mean that our customers will have access to 100% of the content that's important to them. They'll be able to enjoy richer content through Amazon Video. They'll be able to access Now TV in 2019, including premium channels such as Sky Atlantic, Sky One, and all of Sky Sports channels. And we've recently renewed our partnership with Netflix. We will differentiate our approach to TV by brand. BT will focus on a set-top box experience mainly, with multi-screen and multi-platform access. EE will offer an over-the-top digital mobile-first experience for customers. If I move on to sport. Sport was initially launched in 2013 as a free proposition. It got scale quickly. We added content to it, which has enabled us to monetize it more effectively. All customers are now paying directly for their BT Sports subscriptions. The engagement is high. Our viewing is up close to 20% this year. And our digital viewing in particular being record-breaking with 40% growth year on year. And on the back of this growth, my ambition is to extend BT Sports distribution further onto more platforms to monetize the fixed costs we have further. will be enabling EE customers to access BT Sport on the big screen through their mobile and tablet, and offer BT Sport through new platforms, unlocking the over-the-top opportunity. By extending distribution, we'll be able to reach the 5 million homes in the UK which can't get BT Sport today. So in summary, we will create, establish, and lead the convergence category, which brings together the best of everything we do, and only we can do this. We will use our three brands to extend reach and be relevant to more customers in more segments and give our customers more choice. We're going to build a single smart network to give our customers seamless connectivity, faster speeds, and greater reliability. We will offer the most personal and local service of any operator in the UK. We'll be building on our already best-in-class digital capabilities to give our customers a more personalized experience, create a new partnership model focused on giving our customers the best experience, new categories, and more choice, and transform our TV proposition as a super aggregator with the best content portfolio and widest choice for our customers, as well as maximizing the reach for BT Sport. This will be reflected in our performance as a unit, and you'll be able to measure our success by looking at increased ARPU, improved churn, a step change in our NPS, an increase in the number of RGUs. I'm going to hand over now to Pete and Max, who will share the plans for the BT and EE brands respectively. Before I hand over to Pete, we'll explain more about the BT brand and how it will execute against this strategy. I want to share with you the first of three big campaigns we've got coming up over the next few months for the BT brand. You are seeing this before anyone else. I had to argue with our marketing team because they've still got a few last-minute tweaks that they want to make to it. But I said this audience would want to see this first before the general public. And this is the beginning of a reposition of the BT brand. We're going to reposition the BT brand to engage with our customers in a more personal way. I'd like to share with you the first of our campaigns right now. Thank you.
I never thought I'd miss you half as much as I do. And I never thought I'd feel this way the way I feel about you. Every night, every day, and your message you I need is that I'm losing weight. It must be love, love, love. It must be love, love, love.
Every moment of every day, we help you be there. BT, be there.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Pete Oliver, and I look after the BT marketing and sales team. And I'm going to take a few minutes to take you through the BT plan. Going forward, we've set a really clear ambition for the BT brand. We will make customers' lives simple by bringing together the best connection and entertainment. And this is really the basis for how we think about our move into convergence. As Mark's already mentioned, BT will be focused on home-centric convergence. And we're really clear on what our customers are looking for. They value reliability and peace of mind. They need great connections and great entertainment for the whole family. And most of all, they really value great customer service and support because they're not always the earliest adopters of new technology. This has really formed the basis of how we thought about how we move into this new category of convergence. Let me talk to you a bit about home-centric convergence. It starts from our strength in broadband, as you would expect, and it's targeted at our BT homes and our BT families. We see this as a great opportunity to drive net promoter score, loyalty, and adoption of more products from BT. So what will you get with home-centric convergence? First of all, you'll get a fast, reliable connection everywhere, using our fibre network, our mobile network, and of course our Wi-Fi network. It'll be built for the whole family, not aimed at individuals, aimed at everyone in the household. It'll provide entertainment for everyone, and it'll be backed up by brilliant personal and local support. So before I go into the details of what you'll get with convergence, I just wanted to reflect for a moment on where we are with BT Broadband and BT Mobile. As many of you will know, we now have the majority of our broadband customers upgraded to super-fast broadband. Back in January, we launched our first ultra-fast product. We're offering speeds of up to 300 meg, and for the first time in the UK, we're offering a speed guarantee of 100 meg. And we're promising customers that their speeds will never go below 100 meg, even at peak times. We've also made good progress on BT Mobile. BT customers get access to the UK's best 4G network through the EE network. And we're working with our colleagues in EE to bring exciting new innovations and benefits to customers. We recently added Wi-Fi calling, which gives great in-home coverage. It wasn't previously available to BT customers. But broadband and mobile become much better when you put them together. And we're really, really excited to be the first brand in the UK to launch truly converged packages. And our name for these packages will be BT Plus. As Mark said earlier, this will give you the best from BT, so it's about giving BT customers our best products from BT. And it's going to get better over time, and initially we will be focusing on bringing together fibre and 4G, fixed and mobile together. It's a very big change for us. We're going to change our sales and marketing approach all the way through the line, and you'll see that as we launch. And you'll see how we change our website, our call centres, and all of our marketing to talk about broadband and mobile together in one package for the whole family. When we launch, we're going to offer customers who take BT Plus a range of compelling benefits for the whole household. So first of all, you'll get our fastest speed. On broadband, that means you'll get ultra-fast, or if you can't yet get ultra-fast, we'll give you our fastest super fast connection. All of the BT mobiles in the BT Plus home will be upgraded to our fastest 4G speed at no extra cost. And it's built for the whole family. The home broadband will be unlimited, and again, all of the BT mobiles will receive double data when you upgrade your package to BT Plus. We've also got some very cool features and how you can run the household. The account management is all done through one bill with great online service, and it lets you decide how to run each of the mobile phones. So if there's another adult in the home, you can give them complete control. If you're adding phones for your children, you can control the data, how much they're spending, parental controls, and so on. It has that flexibility. You can also add mobile phones once you've joined BT Plus at any time. You don't have to make a big purchase decision to buy it all in one go. We expect customers to consolidate over time more and more mobile relationships with us. The best thing of all is it's backed by our best ever service. Yesterday we announced that we'll be introducing what we're calling the Keep Connected Promise. And this really takes advantage of having our fixed and mobile networks in one place. If you have a fault and you've got BT Plus, your home broadband will immediately make your BT mobiles unlimited, so you can use the personal hotspot on your phone to get the house back online. And if we can't fix that fault on the same day. We'll ship you a 4G mini hub, which will get the whole home connected onto our brilliant 4G network while we fix your broadband vault. We anticipate this working for home moves and other situations in the future. BT Plus customers will always be connected. And from day one, these customers will get guaranteed 100% UK and Ireland support 24/7 for all of their products. Now, in terms of how we're thinking about this commercially, this will be a premium package from BT. It'll be aimed predominantly at our existing customers as we move to upgrade them and drive loyalty and increase the number of products they have with us. Of course, it will be available to new customers as well. And we can see already that customers with more products from us have higher NPS, higher ARPUs, and much better loyalty. This really focuses in on our strategy to appeal to the highest value segments within that BT customer base. Mark mentioned this as well. This is just the first phase. For us, BT Plus will get better at regular intervals. We already know what we're going to do for the second phase, but I'm not allowed to share that with you today because that's under wraps. We don't want the competition to know. But we will be adding to this and talking to our customers about benefits improving over time. And we really anticipate this being, for BT customers, the best way to get their services from BT. Now, of course, you can add BT TV and BT Sports to BT Plus, or indeed any of our broadband packages. And I want to take a few moments to share with you some exciting plans we have for both of these areas. To take BT TV to start with, we know we've had some gaps in our content lineup over the last few years. But we think now we have an excellent plan to fill in those gaps and actually move to a position where we have the most complete content lineup in the UK. We were the first television platform in Europe to partner with Netflix, and that's been a huge success. We've brought hit shows like The Crown, Stranger Things, and Narcos to a new audience through the set-top box. And we recently extended that partnership with Netflix. It's worked really well for both parties. And yesterday, we announced a new partnership with Amazon Video. And again, for the first time in the UK, we will bring Amazon Prime Video onto our BT TV platform. That means our customers can enjoy great shows like The Grand Tour without having to fiddle around with extra devices or other remote controls. First platform that we'll have it in the UK, and it will be available to our customers from next month. Mark mentioned this as well. You guys, I'm sure, know we've got a deal with Sky for Now TV. That's coming in early 2019, and that will complete our content lineup. We'll have all the Sky Sports channels, we'll have Sky Atlantic, all the other great Sky content, all on our platform. And of course, we continue to offer all the great content we already have, BTTV, AMC, and the best players from BBC, ITV, Channel 4, Channel 5, through our partnership with UVU. All the content's in one place. And this really makes a difference for customers, because it is very complicated for people at the moment to get access to all of this stuff. So let's just talk quickly about some of the benefits of having it on one set-top box. We have a single search engine. This gets a lot of use in my household. I've got young children, and they like to watch Paw Patrol. It's actually available on Netflix and BT TV Kids, and there are different episodes on both services. So the way they find it is they use the search engine and pick the episode they want to watch. They all broadly seem the same to me, but for them, it's very important to get the right episode. It's a single user interface, which means you could be watching a Premier League game, and you can flick straight out to Netflix, onto iPlayer, back onto another channel, all through one remote control. And we're going to offer customers the option to add all of these services to their bills. That's great for us. It helps drive loyalty. It's great for partners, because for them it drives loyalty and stickiness. And it makes it much easier for customers as well. You'll be able to sign up to all of these services with us in our sales channels. It's a full TV service with PVR to record, streaming. And, of course, we've got one help desk that can help you if you have any issues with accessing your favourite programme. So we're really excited to have BT TV completing its lineup this year. And the one other thing we announced yesterday was an expansion onto more screens. So we've got a great app for BT TV that you can use on mobile and tablet, and we'll be bringing that to Samsung TVs, Google Chromecast, and Apple TV in the next couple of months, giving customers a great multi-room option without having to get more set-top boxes. BT Sport is going from strength to strength as well. We've had a great season. I personally really enjoyed it, and I think the Champions League final is going to be phenomenal to Liverpool and Real Madrid. We see that from our customers as well. Viewing is up almost 20% year on year. We're already looking forward to next season, though. We've still got the Premier League. Champions League is getting even better with our new deal. We have more kickoff times, so less games shown at the same time, more opportunity for customers to see the games they want to enjoy. And the highlights are going exclusive to BT Sport. We've got more FA Cup games than ever before as well, so it really will be our best season for football so far. And we've added to our other sports. European rugby is coming to BT Sport. We've got pay-per-view boxing coming later this year to add another way to monetize those rights. And we've extended our partnership with MotoGP. And as Mark mentioned, we're very focused on distribution. BT Sport is important to BT TV, but we have millions of customers on Sky and Virgin, digital platforms as well. And so we'll be continuing to expand our distribution. You're going to hear in a minute from Max some of the details for our really exciting plans to bring BT Sport to EE. And we're working on more platforms, more digital platforms to be announced soon. And the last thing I wanted to talk about is service. We are making three really big changes to fundamentally change the way BT customers experience customer service with us. We've been hugely encouraged by the call centres that we've already moved back to the UK, and we're seeing customers who deal with us in the UK have higher net promoter scores and are less likely to churn after they've spoken to us. So we committed yesterday to bring all of our call centres back to the UK by 2020 at the latest. And that means whenever you call BT, you'll always speak to us here in the UK and Ireland. We're also really excited to be taking BT back into the high street. Using the existing asset of EE stores, we've opened branded presences in over 620 EE stores. We've started with sales, but we will add customer service to that in the next 12 to 18 months. And again, we can see the customers are telling us they really want this. They want to come in and talk to us. And as Mark said, as we're selling convergence, we think this will be an important channel to help explain all of the benefits you can get from BT. And we're continuing to invest in digital. We have over 2 million customers using the MyBT app. And tomorrow, you'll see the BT.com homepage change as we simplify our digital presence to focus more on service and upgrades and make it much easier for customers to get the service they need from BT. So in summary, looking forward, we're very, very focused on moving BT into a leader for home-centric convergence with our BT customers. We will be the first in the UK to launch truly converged packages with BT Plus, faster speeds, bigger data allowances, family controls, and of course, service benefits like our Keep Connected promise. We're completing the lineup on BT TV, and we're open to business, to partnerships, people like Netflix, Amazon, Now TV. This is the future. This is the content customers want to get from us. And most importantly of all, huge commitment to service with UK call centres, a return to the high street, and ongoing investment in making digital self-serve really, really easy. So I'm now going to hand over to Max. He's going to tell you all about the plans we have for EE.
Thanks, Pete. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Max Taylor. I'm the MD of Marketing for EE. I've been in the business around 17 years, formerly of Orange UK and now, of course, EE. So you've heard from Mark and Pete about the convergence strategy and what that means for BT. Now let me tell you what that means for EE. So we're coming at convergence from a great place. Only 5 years young, Our brand is going from strength to strength. Our brand, our financial and our customer metrics keep moving forward. The best mobile network in the country. It's faster in more places, and reliability and resilience improves all the time as we prepare for the emergency services. Everyone said we're proud to have won the Sunday Times Award. I won't dwell on that too much, but what it means, what it reflects, is our frontline really buying into our strategy. We're executing well, and that means we're delivering great service for our customers day in, day out. But we know we can do more. We are targeting a different audience to BT. Our key segment is a younger audience, more digitally savvy, into over-the-top services, brought up with social networks. They want flexibility, a range of devices, payment options. They seek to maximise every single minute of every day. Speed is important to them. They embrace new technology, like to experiment, and they want to be inspired. The mobile device is the most important device in their lives. They feel lost without it. Our role, as you see this 2x2 on the right-hand side, is to protect the 3 million, as we talked about earlier, to cross-sell broadband as services to the 5 million, and to target growth in the 13 million. When we talk about convergence for EE, the strategy is built around our position of strength, the mobile. We call it mobile-centric convergence. It's important we retain our position as the best place to buy a mobile solution from in the UK and use that experience to bring a new level of service to these other categories. As I go around each element of this portfolio, I will share how it helps us reinforce our position as the number one destination for handset purchasing, whilst also opening up the benefits of new revenue streams. We have the widest choice of mobile solutions for all the family in the UK today. Pay-as-you-go, mobile broadband, pay-monthly SIM and handsets. But we announced yesterday two really exciting new propositions. Firstly, our family proposition. The thing our customers have been asking for is to be able to move data around their account with control. We call this data gifting. Imagine you have data left over at the end of your month. You can now gift it to your partner or to your children. We called it a new form of digital pocket money. Customers love it. Not often that we get tweets like that. Absolutely love how you can gift data on EE. So we thought we'd share it with you. But we've seen unprecedented success. Over 500,000 gifts. We've rolled this out in the last few months. Over 500,000 gifts in our trial on the network. And customers who do gift go on to gift again. 71% of those customers have gone on to gift again. Customer satisfaction scores are great, and we're driving multi-line attach within the household. For every new line, families will get an extra gig of data to gift, and they get a 10% discount. The MyEE app also allows parents to control what their children are accessing, and through our partnership with Internet Matters, we can provide advice and guidance they need to keep their kids safe online. We're also launching new flex plans, something that sits in between pay-as-you-go and pay-monthly. Customers want the spend control and flexibility of pay-as-you-go with the simplicity of pay-monthly. So in July, we're launching just that. With flex plans, you don't need to have a credit check. There's just a simple transaction in store, and away you go on the UK's fastest network. You can flexibly move your data up and down each month or take a month break. Flex plans come with built-in loyalty to encourage recurring payments. Every 3 months, you'll get a data boost. We see this as ideal for students, people moving home, or even analysts coming to the UK for a few months. This is the solution for those people. True flexibility, simplicity, control, and of course, speed. The range will launch in direct channels and indirect channels. A number of indirect merchandisers won't sell pay monthly today because of the commission and because of the credit check challenges, and the commission isn't big enough on pay-as-you-go, so we've launched FlexPlan to open up those channels. So that's mobile. Let's talk about broadband. With BT's help, we've dramatically improved our broadband range. We've already upgraded our router based on BT Smart Hub design, giving our customers better Wi-Fi signal. We'll shortly launch ultra-fast into our range too, but with our 4G coverage, we can reach areas of the country with fiber-like speed. Our unique 4G home router has an optional antenna ideal for rural communities. Our single line check on our online single line checker will recommend the best solution for customers, whether that be mobile broadband or fixed broadband. Good improvements in service too. You'll know from our recent Ofcom survey, you'll see we have the best call centre service in the UK for broadband, less than half the industry average for call wait time. We don't get many complaints, but when we do, we're the fastest and the best at resolving them. But we're innovating here too, around mobile-centric service. With a customer's permission, our call centres can look through the lens of a customer's smartphone to help diagnose connectivity issues with broadband. This saves customers time from waiting for engineers to arrive, but also saves us money. We're launching a new AR app, E's Virtual Assistant app, can be downloaded by a customer and they get help with router setup and cabling. In terms of convergence and bonding mobile and broadband together, we will give up to 20 gigabytes of data, depending on the package they choose, and now that data is giftable amongst the family. We also provide 4G backup if the broadband goes down, and a home move service will ensure that our customers stay connected using 4G until their broadband connection gets set up. But we also thought, what if you could combine in one box the best of both 4G and fixed? Well, we're going to do just that. We call it hybrid broadband technology. This technology bonds together the speeds of fixed and mobile in one router, giving customers consistent and reliably fast broadband, even in areas with traditionally slow broadband, or ones that are slow at peak time. Let's take a look. Hybrid broadband technology launching in 2019, the very best of 4G and fixed in one router. Mark talked earlier about the smart network. Well, this product will really bring that to life. The first evidence of our new partnership team getting to work is the launch of the smart home category, available online and rolling out for retail in June. The smart home category is expected to grow significantly over the next 5 years, between 100 and 200%, depending upon which analyst report you read. EE is launching a range of devices from the get-go from all the leading brands: Nest, Hive, Honeywell, Google, Apple. A range of smart doorbells, thermostats, light bulbs, power sockets, and voice assistants. We have a range for all device ecosystems. There are two challenges for customers when it comes to smart homes: affordability and complexity. So EE is going to help. We're the only operator offering add to plan with 0% APR, so you can buy your smart home product and spread it over the life of the contract. We're also going to open up a free phone helpline for smart home customers so they can get help and advice on setup and ecosystem compatibility, particularly as they start to add new products to their smart home. Why are we launching this category? A number of reasons. A natural role fit. We're a trusted brand who help our customers get the best connectivity out of the home, to the home, and now within the home. Growth potential of smart home, but also the smarter the home, the faster the fiber connection required. The key control point is the mobile device or a mobility device. And we can bring innovation here too. Heating and lighting controls from your Apple Watch only work on the EE network. And finally, TV and content. Perhaps one of the best examples of the BT Group and the Consumer Group working together and addressing different customer needs is in the area of TV and content. We've seen unprecedented growth on the EE network over the past few months around over-the-top usage. Take Netflix. It's growing at 9% a month. 150 terabytes of data growth a month. 150,000 Netflix one-hour episodes growth a month. And the growth is biggest in the 16 to 35-year-old segment. These customers watch this content on a range of devices, tablets, laptops, mobile phones, as well as TVs. It's easier for these customers to search for content on a mobile phone, a touch screen with a keyboard, as opposed to a remote control with numbers or direction arrows. We're going to develop one application to search across your over-the-top content, one place for exclusive offers with one-click charge to bill. Customers will be able to watch content on their mobile in and out of the home when they take it to their friend's house, cast it to the big screen. This is in testing. We will launch this later this year. But in the meantime, and just for the new football season, we've got some great news about BT Sport for EE customers. Our customers are demanding a casting solution. We launched last year a £5 product, a mobile-only solution for EE customers, and now we're going to launch a £15 product, which has casting in HD to the big screen with zero rating on the move. All our propositions are underpinned by our uniquely personal and local service. More stores than any other operator, an ambition to be within 20 minutes of 95% of our customers. With handset price inflation, screen replacement, frequency rising, and residual value of devices going up, we need more options for customers, which is why we're innovating with same-day repairs and also trade-in. We're trying same-day repairs in Southwest London right now, and trade-in is really ramping up. We expect our trade-ins of devices to be up nearly 100% year-on-year, and the Samsung S9 was over three times the rate we expected. Call centre service is the best in the UK, but I've mentioned new innovations, including remote support and AR. We're expanding our capability and efficiency through click-to-chat and click-to-call. In digital, we've seen huge success in the past few years. One of the largest self-serve bases in the country, and according to a recent study by McKinsey's, we're number one for self-serve adoption in Western European telcos. Up until now, this has been about cost efficiency, driving significant calls out of the call centre, allowing us to reinvest in UK-based call centres and retail footprint. But now we have a large registered base to deliver personalised experiences to, a cost-efficient marketing channel to promote all of these new services to, protect multi-brand dilution, and it is this API-based digital architecture that has opened up new partnership opportunities that Mark talked about earlier. We're also innovating in e-commerce, announcing a super-fast same-day device delivery service with setup at a location and time of a customer's convenience, whether that be the office, a coffee shop, or at home. Enjoy is a US company that we've exclusively partnered with in the UK, the team that launched the Apple Retail and Genius Bar. This will start in London in August. No other UK provider is providing this level of speed, personalized setup, reinforcing our number one for handset position. Finally, we're launching a new way to communicate to our customers, but also a new way to communicate internally. Who says you can't will be our new tagline. It represents our obsession to address the needs of our customers, to innovate, to set new standards for the industry. It captures the very spirit of EE, reflects our ambition and mindset shift as we move from number one in mobile to becoming number one in mobile-centric convergence. So to recap, a new mobile-centric convergence strategy addressing a different customer demographic to BT. Game-changing new mobile props, broad range of mobile and fixed broadband solutions, mobile-centric service innovation, a new category launch in smart home, refreshed BT Sport app as a precursor to a mobile-centric TV app later this year. Uniquely personal and local service, reinforcing our number one for handset position. A new way to communicate internally and externally. Number one for mobile-centric convergence. Who says we can't? Thank you. And now over to Stephen.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Stephen Harris, CFO of Consumer. And like Mark, I've actually been in the industry 20 years, which I think probably makes me the oldest. I think we'd better move on and not dwell on that point. I'm going to start by just reflecting on Consumer Division's performance over the last 2 years as if it always had been in existence. Consumer Division has a very strong track record of revenue growth, between 3 and 4% year on year over the last 2 years, with all of the three brands, Plusnet, BT Consumer, and EE, all growing revenue in that period. Consumer Division also has a strong track record in EBITDA, 10% growth year on year for 2017-18 versus the prior year. Now, I will just pause at that moment and reflect on Simon Lau's words of last week in that please don't necessarily expect 17% growth year on year going forward for EBITDA. However, what I would like to say to you today, for me the most important thing is that sustainable drive of profitable revenue growth, coupled with a continued and relentless focus on cost to maximize EBITDA. And I think that's probably best evidence, or perhaps best evidence, by EE's performance in the last 12 months. Year on year, EE grew revenue by 204 million. But at the same time, it also grew EBITDA by almost the same amount, 197 million. So that's driving revenue growth, but also driving through an absolute focus on our cost base. That focus on both revenue and cost is also underpinned by our drive to leverage the consumer asset base that we have. The thing I'm going to do today is just share with you two examples of how we do that. The first is our retail estate. Our retail estate over the last year grew by approximately 30 stores, so circa 5% of our footprint. But at the same time, we reduced the absolute operating cost of our retail estate by 6%. As you've already heard earlier today, we're not stopping there. We are going one step further. By the end of this month, all of our 620-plus stores will also be selling BT broadband, maximizing the return from our retail estate. But our EE, tariff and mobile base, also gives us an opportunity to leverage the consumer assets that we have. our EE Max mobile tariff, the top tier tariff, which something like 20-odd% of our customers either require or upgrade to, drives an ARPU in excess of 40% of the standard tariff. One of the key drivers in incentivizing customers is our more for more pricing strategy, and this is evident particularly in this occasion where BT Sport is included in the bundle, and it's a key driver for customers either acquiring or upgrading to our top tier tariff. I'd also like just to talk about costs and synergies, which is partly captured on the right hand side of the charts you can see. The group remains on track to deliver the 400 million of synergies identified at EE acquisition. I just wanted to give you a sense of how within Consumer Division, not only do we remain on track, we remain focused on how we deliver those. We mentioned earlier customer service, and we're onshoring our customer service and call centres here in the UK. What that does is drive an improvement in our service that we absolutely are monetizing. We are seeing a significant reduction in propensity to call. PTC as it's captured on the slide. So that's the number of calls our customers make into our call centers every single year. The quality of that service we're able to provide here in the UK means our customers simply don't have to call us as much, less calls, less average handling time, and delivery and answer of many of our queries first time. That's also been coupled with our investment in digital, where customers are now able to self-serve much more than they've ever been able to in the past. We've also driven further cost synergies through service, where actually even before the creation of the consumer division, for the last 2 years, the operational planning and support of all of our consumer call centres has been a single function, driving further efficiency. Procurement has been important. It's driven significant media savings and other savings, obviously, leveraging our group buying power. All of this means that we can not only continue to invest in growing our business, but we can also improve our EBITDA performance. In the last quarter, we've had to navigate not just one, but two auctions. I just wanted to spend a few minutes reflecting on the Spectrum auction. Captured on the slide, not just the spend by competitor for the last auction, mostly the 5G auction, but also the 4G auction as well. What you can see is versus the competition, the amount we've paid in absolute terms is very comparable and competitive. Equally, if not more important, the BT Group has maintained its leadership in Spectrum with a very balanced portfolio. And the third thing I'll actually mention, which isn't captured on this chart, is in regard to the most recent, the 5G Spectrum auction. The group acquired 40 megahertz. That was the package we targeted from over a year ago. More importantly, it was within our target price range from over a year ago as well. And it's a key enabler to us being amongst the first to launch 5G and build on our great 4G leadership in the marketplace. I also wanted to spend just a few minutes on sport and content. It sometimes feels as though it gets a disproportionate focus on the cost rather than how we derive benefits and monetize our investment in sport, which is what we've tried to do here on the chart. In absolute terms, you will know our Premier League renewal is less than it was for the last 3 years. We've moved, as Mark mentioned earlier, to charging for all our customers for their sport content. It is no longer free. Our commercial and advertising revenues remain strong. And equally, in the last quarter, we've also renewed a multi-year wholesale deal. And as Max touched on earlier, we are expanding the base of how we monetize our investment in sport content to our EE customers. We are on a journey as consumer division. But a lot of the heavy lifting, arguably, has already been done. We have a robust bottom-up three-year plan. For us, 18-19 is execution. But one of the things I wanted to mention today is going through that very detailed three-year bottom-up exercise allowed us to go again and look at all of the integration synergies first identified in acquisition. And going through that process, we've already found another 8 to 9% of group integration synergies that we can deliver in 18-19 to improve EBITDA. And that focus on cost will not go away. We will continue to review and reflect, allowing us to further invest and improve profitability. We're also going to move to a new set of KPIs for Q1. As Mark referenced, Q4 was the last time we report as EE and BT consumers separately. And on the page, you can see the new KPIs that we will be reporting again. These are the most transparent I think we've ever provided. Absolutely key is that these are purely for consumer division. So all of our metrics that you see on this page are purely for consumer. There will not be any blurring with other parts of the group like enterprise or global services. They underpin our focus on value. To a large extent, this is how we track and monitor the business on a weekly, daily, monthly basis. We are going to report revenue split between fixed and mobile, but also ARPU split between fixed and mobile, and churn split between fixed and mobile. We're also introducing new measures, as you can see at the bottom of the page, that are also a great mechanism by which we'll deliver more value to the group, and that's ultra-fast broadband as a percentage of our base. What I'd like to just note equally, this is under the old accounting standard of IAS 18. Next month, as part of the group, we will be doing a further update on IFRS 15. So in conclusion, consumer division represents close to 40% of the group's revenue and profitability. We have a very strong track record of financial delivery. And as you've hopefully seen today, we have some phenomenal and exciting plans which will help us continually deliver on strong revenue and EBITDA growth. At that point, I'd like to say thank you, and I shall hand back to Mark.
Thank you, Stephen. We'll open up for Q&A in just a minute for those of you in the room and on the phone as well. So I'm really pleased we've had the opportunity to share with you our new strategy today. Andy's taken you through why we're well positioned to succeed in the market. I've taken you through our new strategy and the six key pillars that we're going to execute against. Pete and Max have taken you through our plans for the BT and EE brands. And Stephen finally shared the strong financial foundation we have and the transformational plans as well. We're really excited about this plan. We shared it with the media yesterday. They're very excited, and our teams are really excited about it too. It's very much the first chapter, and what we'll do now is open up for Q&A. I'll invite the team up here, and we'll get going with that. I think what we'll do is start with any questions in this block here in the room, if the team would like to come up, and then I'll take some on the phone, and then we'll move to this block, and we'll make our way around the room that way. Is that okay? So.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please key star then one on your telephone now.
Introduce your name and company before you ask the question. That'd be brilliant. Thank you.
Carl Murdoch-Smith from Berenberg. I knew you'd do that. That's why I sat here. A couple of questions. Firstly, just on the KPIs. So to clarify, you'll not be providing any customer numbers. We'll be able to kind of back out from the ARPU figures, but not exactly given the rounding. And there'll be no KPIs like broadband ads anymore. So that's question one, just clarification on that. And then second clarification, just the 8 to 9% synergy, extra synergy target you quoted, just of what is that of the original 400 clarification? And then third question would be consumer ARPU growth. Obviously, you had on 12-month rolling ARPU, you had two increases in this quarter, but ARPU growth actually slowed down from Q3, in which you only had one price increase in the trailing 12 months. So I was wondering if you could provide a bit more color on how the price increases landed and kind of going forward in relation to that. Are you still on the 9-month pricing schedule or 12 months?
Okay.
That's all from me.
All right, Carl. So three questions for the price of one there. So I think what we'll do is, Stephen, you can pick up the first two, and perhaps I'll ask Pete to pick up the question on the rolling ARPU. Question, and I think it was more about how the price increase landed. So.
Yeah, okay. Carl, you get the price. RGUs is the one thing I left off the slide. The reason is we are still working through how we're going to report RGUs, in that today we can absolutely do by product. I want to get to reporting RGUs by customer, which I think is the most valuable metric. My challenge, being completely transparent, is systems. In that I've got a BT system and an EE system, and if you're an EE mobile customer taking BT broadband, I want to make sure I can report it accurately, and we're working through by when we can do it. But the full intention is we do it through the course of this next fiscal year. What I can do by Q1, we're just working through. Second one was, what's the 8-9% off? It is 8-9% of the 400 million. It's a mix of both cost and revenue drivers, actually. That will drive that 8-9% of 400 million.
Okay, and on pricing, we had a price rise in BT in January. That was in line with our expectations. There was no reaction on churn that was beyond what we'd forecast. I think what we've seen work is give customers more for more. So when we write to customers with price increases, as a standard practice now, we're offering them ways to get more for more from BT upgrades, on speed or usage and so on. In terms of forward looking, we don't comment on what next year price rise, but you know, you'll hear that from our investor relations team the next time we announce one.
Carl, you also, I mean, this is an important point on volume net ads. You know, I believe that the industry obsesses about net ads a bit too much. You know, the most important metrics are revenue, EBITDA, cash, customer satisfaction. You know, it's very easy to drive high net ads by dropping prices. You know, that's not what we're about. We're about driving long-term sustainable value for shareholders, attracting high-value customers, giving customers great products and services, and really focusing on you know, the high value segments. So that's also, you know, part of that thinking's in the KPIs that we believe are important. Were there any other questions in this group here? Yes, would you mind?
It's Steve Markham from Parity. I'll go for a couple. One on distribution, which you didn't sort of talk about that much in this presentation. Can you just flesh out your sort of current thoughts? I mean, you're clearly doing more direct to the e-stores. You know, is there a plan to wean yourself off indirect, which has been, I guess, the biggest margin drag in mobile in this country for a very long time, as you beef up the brands and you beef up direct? And secondly, on the emergency services network, I've seen that still within consumer, and it's kind of got slightly lost in the weeds over the last 12 months. Can you update us where you are on that? You know, how we should think about revenues and EBITDA coming into the business over the next year or two. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I mean, I think the distribution's a mixed bag, and it depends by which segment. So, you know, we talked about pay-as-you-go, for example, and flexible plans on EE. That gives us access to thousands of new points of distribution for a pay-as-you-go-like hybrid with pay monthly. There is no doubt that you know, we get greater satisfaction, higher loyalty, higher value through our direct channels. That's very much behind the thinking of why we're expanding retail, also behind our thinking as to why we're bringing the BT brand within those stores. And you know, we'd like to be doing more business direct, absolutely. Perhaps on the ESN network, do you want to, Stephen, touch on just give some colour on the...
Absolutely. We started reporting revenue against ESN in the last fiscal year, and we currently remain on track with all our milestones with the Home Office. So it continues to grow.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking to have some trials live this summer, actually, which will be
communicating over the next few weeks with our first service. So we've done over here. I think we'll, what I said, I'll alternate between the phone and the room. So we've got a question from Paul Sidney from Credit Suisse. Hi, Paul.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had two questions, please. Firstly, I was wondering if you can give us some idea of how much these converged offers will cost in terms of the retail price, or maybe in terms of what implied discounts you're looking to offer to customers. And also, just a follow-on from that, if they take TV or BT Sport, would these converged customers be given those products at a cheaper price than the standalone price? And then just second question, how will you judge the success of the new operating model for the consumer division? Is it number of converged offers, revenue growth, profit growth, something else, or perhaps a mixture of all of those things? Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Paul. We're announcing our pricing for Plus next week. I'll hand this over to Pete to give a flavour and a sort of range of where we're talking, but very much at the high end is how we're thinking about it. And also you ask questions of TV and sport. On your question of how to look at the success of the consumer division, on the slide that I think my first slide on the strategy and also in summary, it's very much looking at ARPU, looking at churn. We want churn to come down. We believe we'll have loyal, stickier customers there, so lower churn, higher NPS, and an increase in the number of units connections we have with our customers. So RGU, ARPU, churn, and NPS, they're the key numbers that we'll be looking at the success of the division on. Pete, do you want to just give an indication of the sort of range?
Well, we'll be launching BT Plus next week. We're not giving the exact pricing this week. There'll be a press release on that next week. But if you look at our ultra-fast pricing today, it starts at £55. That gives you some sense of what we mean by premium. And obviously, you add mobile to that. So our expectation would be that it's in that kind of range, plus mobile. See you next week. You asked about TV and sport. Our focus at launch is very much on bringing together mobile and broadband. And it's not a discount-led approach. So customers who take BT Plus will get more benefits, faster speeds, more usage, rather than money off their mobile or money off their broadband. That's how we're thinking about it. You can add TV and sport to that package, but it'll be at the same price as the current portfolio. Future phases, we may focus more on entertainment, but next week, very much about broadband and mobile, not about giving discounts, about giving more benefits when you put them together with us.
Okay. Awesome, very clear, thank you.
So if we'll start at the back and you on the corner there. Yep.
Yes, hi, thank you. James Rutt from New Street Research. So two questions, please. First, I'd just like to understand how you think about the opportunity to grow your customer base with the offering of Sky Sports. That kind of opens up quite a big new target market that might not have been addressable to BT before. So interesting to understand how you kind of scale that opportunity. And secondly, kind of, apologies if this question comes across the wrong way, but what's new about the convergence offers you're now launching? I'm sure, BT can, as the BT brand has had a convergent offer for some time on mobile. EE has also been offering broadband. So what's being pitched that's new to the customer here around the convergence angle specifically?
Okay, so on the first question, as I said before, if you look at our TV offering today, we offer around a third of the channels that are important to customers. So there's a pretty big gap between what they want to watch and what we're currently offering. So one of the gaps was the Sky portfolio, which obviously we're plugging with Now TV. But the other gap, and Andy talked about this real growth that we're seeing on over-the-top services, and Matt touched on this as well, we can obviously see this traffic on our network, 150,000 terabytes of growth every single month of Netflix viewing on a mobile network. So it's also important, I think, as a network operator to offer all of that choice for customers. And, that's why we're really excited about Amazon plus Netflix, and there may well be other partnerships that we add in time as well. So We go from having a relatively restricted range of content to having the full suite. So we're excited about that. Primarily, I'll take you back to the market grid that I talked about, you know, where we have 5 million homes, single brand, BT, 5 million EE, and then the 13 million opportunity that you're probably referencing there. First and foremost, our focus is on extending the relationship that we have with the homes and the relationships we already have. And so expanding that TV offering really helps that. But in that 13 million, where we have no relationship today, there are customers who do want choice. They do want a really credible TV story. And that's what we'll have by this time next year. So we're quite excited about that. But the priority, first and foremost, is extending the relationships with the customers we have. Why don't we talk about convergence? I think Max and Pete, why don't you talk about what's new, what's different, because it is, and we're excited about it. So why don't you guys?
Yeah, I'll talk on the EE side first. We're not using discount strategies to drive convergence growth. So the first thing is the data boost, which combines the mobile and the broadband. And then we're addressing real customer needs and the ability to gift and share data within the family household. Family sharing has been around for a number of years, but it doesn't give the parents the control that they need. And also thinking about rewards for children. And that really addressing true customer needs and innovating provides us with an edge. But from a discounting strategy, we're not doing that. We're providing extra data, and they can share that data amongst the family. And we're also doing backup services. So we're doing what we can now reactively around bringing the 4G network and the fixed network together. So things like the home move service and the 4G backup we'll do from day one. Looking further forward, I talked about hybrid broadband technology, which is the two technologies together in the box, where the customer we don't have to react to that. The network's going to, and customer doesn't have to react, call in or anything like that. The network takes care of it for them, and that's what we call a smart network.
Yeah, and I think on BT, we're really pleased with how BT Mobile's gone, but it has so far been a fairly straightforward cross-sell. The new packages combine a number of things. They take it away from being a simple cross-sell to a package where it's all managed on one account, and you get these benefits across all of the devices in the home, the mobile and fixed, whether it's data or usage. And as Max says, we're starting with our Keep Connected promise, which is using the mobile network to give you a more reliable fixed connection. And we see in our roadmap developing more and more benefits that only we can deliver because we have both the fixed and mobile network. And it will be sold in a different way. It's not just about cross-selling into the base. It's about upgrading to a different way to get those services together. So you'll see that in our marketing and sales approach as well. We've seen that work in Europe and some territories very well.
I remember what I said in the presentation. I think Pete touched on it as well. What we're announcing today, we recognise this is the first chapter of the convergence journey, 1.0. We're already working on 2.0. That's coming soon. And we've got some ideas on 3.0 too. So, you know, there's going to be a number of chapters to this story as, you know, the network technology rolls out, the system, the capability. But, you know, we also don't want to launch everything in one go. We want to keep our powder dry on a few things. So the lady there next to you. Yeah.
Thanks. Annalisa Behrendt from Point Topic. One question and one plea. The question is, can you give a little bit more detail on the trial you're starting in August, I think, on this idea where you can help with setup at a convenient location for the customer? Does the customer pay for that? Will it be the local, the shops, essentially, that are serving that? How is it being run? Where is it being run out of? And the second question is KPIs, a plea. Please keep your transparency that you have in terms of customer numbers, subscriptions, products, lines, because we as an industry we need those numbers. Please don't do a sky on us.
Thanks. We hear the plea, and perhaps Max, you want to just give a bit of flavour on the personal setup.
So we've partnered with a team, ex-Apple's retail team from the States called Enjoy. They've got this service up and running with AT&T, we're bringing it to. We've done this exclusive partnership for the UK, starting in August, and it's going to be in London. as we start off, it will be the starting price will be free of charge and with our tier one handset online and via our call centres. And these extremely customer friendly, excellent experts, they'll provide expertise, come out to you, really proactively come out and provide personal setup. We've done some trials to date, but the real sort of public trial goes live in August, and it'll be in London.
We're really excited about it. Again, if you think about Pillar, personal and local service. This is a really great example of executing against that. We've got some trials already going on with our teams, and the feedback's been excellent.
Thank you. It's James Britton from HSBC. Actually, just building on that last point, I just wonder why you haven't introduced home visits for BT customers. I know home setup was probably the number one bottleneck for good broadband experience beyond a certain speed a couple of years ago. In my experience, it's still quite a big issue. So we've seen other corporates introduce this with fantastic impact on NPS. You're just interested in your reticence to do this for BT. And then secondly, just on the set-top box strategy for TV, is everything being developed through the UView platform on the BT set-top box? And is there any concern, I guess, that being reliant on UView partners to sign off on your innovation moves could slow you down?
Okay, that's a great question. Two great questions. I'll ask Andy to touch on the second one with UView platform partnership. We have a strategic pillar which is personal and local service. We are starting with EE. We're starting with mobile. We're bringing BT into the high street, which I think ticks against that box as well. And I am having a look and considering other opportunities for us to be more personal and more local as well.
So on to your question in relation to set-top boxes. So clearly, on the BT side, the service we talked about today, so obviously the launch of Amazon, but also Netflix and Now TV, will all be available through the UV platform. And of course, EE is focusing more on mobile-centric and more on apps. In relation to UV, it's an award-winning platform. We're very happy with the customer feedback on it, and we're happy with the innovation roadmap, and we believe that the benefits that we get from the partnerships that we have through UView actually outweigh any complexity of getting the agreement we need to get the innovation through. And if you look at the track record of bringing innovation on UView, Ultra HD, et cetera, it's very strong.
So just quickly pass the mic along. Yeah, great. And we are coming down.
Yeah, thanks. It's Stephen Howard from HSBC. I'm going to ask a question that's actually very similar to what I asked Gavin when the acquisition was announced. And I'm not sure if I fully understood the answer then, and I'm still somewhat in the dark. You've got an interesting slide on page 7, which shows how the UK's convergence compares with other European markets. And just to help us understand where you want to take all this, I was wondering if you could explain which of those continental markets you think have done a good job on convergence, and in which it's been more problematic. I mean, after all, you acknowledge that the experience on the continent has been somewhat mixed. I'd like to know what you regard as the success story that you're trying to emulate. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, our strategy is not just emulate but copy better. I would say a territory where it has gone well is Germany. If I look at DT strategy, it's very much more for more, increase in ARPU, less focus on discounts. So that the Magenta Ein story, I think, is one that looks strong, and we've been looking at that. Personally, I believe if you look at the early days of Spain, that's an example of high discounting, high volume, high value destruction in that marketplace. So I think we've been very clear, and Pete's reluctant to give all of the detail because we're holding the powder dry on the announcements next week, but the Plus portfolio if you're looking at an entry-level broadband and an entry-level SIM or two, you'll be in the £70 to £80 a month range. So very much focusing on more for more high-end customers. Hope that clarifies that. Should we keep going in this section and move along? Is that all right? We're sort of rattling through them as quickly as we can. Start on the end and then work along. Probably the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, hi. It's Kilda Tong from JP Morgan. I'd just like to start firstly with a question very much linked to the prior one around the chart you put on convergence in the UK, where it stands versus the rest of Europe. I guess as you alluded to, the markets that are most advanced on convergence are also the ones discounting. And even in Germany, they do give you a 10-year discount. So I guess I was just trying to understand, as you move forward through the convergence strategy, are you expecting a meaningful step change or is it more evolutionary? Because I guess where we have seen the adoption higher, it has been much more price and discount led. So just some thoughts around that and how we should think about it. And then the second question, I guess, is just how you think about the competitive environment in that context. I guess you've got two players in the form of TalkTalk and Vodafone on the fixed line side who are more still price-centric, maybe rather than value-centric. How do you think as you move into convergence that will play out?
Yeah, okay. I mean, I think, you know, what we're not obsessed about is, and this is why we haven't announced a customer target or a net add target of convergence. We are in the business of creating long-term sustainable value for shareholders. And we're focusing on the valuable customers in the market and convergence, going back to my definition, is the best of everything we do in one place. Networks, connectivity, products, services, innovation. That's very much how we're thinking about it, and that's how we're launching it. On the mobile side, you know, it's more about flexibility and innovation. So we're not going to chase a number for the sake of it. And the approach we're taking, I believe, creates long-term sustainable value for shareholders. And going back to your point on the competitive environment, I mean, this is the most competitive market in Europe with the lowest prices, with the most competitors, with a very complex distribution model, as you've outlined as well. But the key for us is differentiation in this market comes with convergence. This is where we're uniquely placed. If you think about the assets we have, we've got the network assets. No one else has mobile, and not just a mobile network, but the best mobile network in the UK, independently verified, month in, month out, number one. We've got the biggest and furthest reaching Wi-Fi estate. As we start to integrate that with the mobile network, what's that going to mean for customer experience and quality? And access to the biggest broadband network as well. Three brands, more choice. You know, this is why we're using convergence to differentiate, not on a price level, but focus on value and giving customers the best of everything that we can do.
Just when you talk about the KPIs linked, I guess just to clarify, are you going to give household ARPU then? I guess if we're trying to understand that value creation, or will you stick to separate fixed and mobile?
Sorry, Stephen, go on.
Well, I was going to say, we will report it by mobile and fixed with a view to review in the future as well.
And of course, you'll get the RGU metric, which will give you an indication of how we're extending those relationships.
Hi, Alex Irving from Bernstein. You said that you're going to introduce the BT brand into EE stores, but why is it you're taking a low involvement product such as broadband and putting that through a higher cost conversion channel? Also, what measures are you taking to limit brand confusion and cannibalization, given that there's going to be three brands in the same store and largely we're going to have EE customers in those stores?
Well, the great thing is we've been trialing this for sort of relatively quietly for the last 9 months, I think, in quite a large number of stores, and the results are really good. The overall broadband category has grown in those stores, the overall value has grown in those stores, and if you look at it on an incremental sale basis, it's not correct to think of it as a high cost channel, because the rent's paid for, the rates are paid for, the people are there. So if you've got the extra footfall coming through the store and we're able to drive incremental sales, that's actually a really good channel for us with a very low incremental cost. Minimizing confusion or dilution is probably the more
the one you know we've been most focused on. And Andy touched on it. There was a really good slide earlier on in Andy's section, which just looked at some of the moves we've been making on our categories, lifting the entry price of mobile up on BT, for example, moving up EE broadband. So the cannibalisation risk is minimised by those moves that we've been taking. So that's allowed us now to bring the brand in and give the customers what they want. Without our any worries of cannibalisation, and the feedback's been great from employees and customers. The feedback's been great in those stores, and that's why we're confident of rolling it out across the UK. Perhaps if you move the mic down to Morris.
Yeah, thanks. It's Morris from Barclays. So, a question on the common core that you talked about earlier. So I'm guessing that means you still run a separate EE core network to a consumer core network currently. How long is it going to take before you start seeing the benefits of that? So you have 3 million customers, for example, who take EE and BT currently. I think in answer to Carl's question, you implied you weren't necessarily sure which currently, and to work them out. Can they get one bill immediately? Will it take time to get into that? And as you roll out the common core, what services can you deliver that you can't as you launch? Be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, we outlined on the network slide, the smart network slide, the journey to get there's a number of steps to get there, and we've said we'll get there by 2022. So we think it's going to take us around 4 years. A number of key building blocks, which we've outlined today, to get there, and then the billing, that's billing stacks and system stacks and all those kind of things as well. So it's that sort of time frame that we're looking at. But the great thing is, we're not waiting 4 years to start bringing convergence to the UK. We've launched the first chapter today, and we've got some really exciting things already. Max is talking about hybrid broadband routers, bringing those two networks together in the next 12 months. So we're getting on with it. Yes.
Sam McGee from Exam. Two quick questions. The first one, I guess you spent your life kind of attacking fixed line operators with working in a mobile company. I think BT Consumer was still making about £1 billion a year from fixed line calling. Prices are now £10 a month, I think, if you're a BT customer. Have you thought about that revenue pool in a convergent world with Wi-Fi calling? Should we think that will accelerate in terms of declines? And then secondly, just on the stores, and you mentioned putting BT people into the stores. How are you incentivizing the staff? Is there going to be a fight between the BT guy and the EE guy to get the customer on their brand? How is that all going to work?
So it's the same. It's the same team. There's no BT and EE team. It's one team. Who'll be well trained, and they're very focused on customer satisfaction, NPS. Very focused on value creation as well for us. So there'll be no conflict there in terms of customer needs, NPS, value creation. We won't have separate BT and EE teams in the store. The store team have got a range of products and services to sell. Just remind me of the first question. It was the voice and all that kind of. I mean, long term, I talked about services convergence, I think we're going to see some really exciting innovation coming in voice. Actually, if you look at IMS, the IMS platform that effectively allows you to take your identity with you wherever you go, with digital voice coming, replacing the old copper network, the ability to move calls from your car to your speaker, perhaps to your new digital voice line, have multiple numbers, multiple voicemails, hunt groups, all that kind of stuff. That's some really exciting innovation coming in voice, which I think for an overall package for a customer, we may end up with one plan overall rather than asking customers to pay X for voice and Y for data and all that kind of stuff. So, we do see the call volumes come down. We're seeing voice being used less and less. So what we've got to do is innovate, and convergence is a really nice way of us innovating, actually, with the technology and the platforms we have. And if you guys would add anything else to how we think about voice or anything to that?
The only thing I'd add, Mark, is that we have seen landline voice, it's a decline, but it's quite a predictable decline. So we have seen over the last 10 years that there hasn't been like a cliff edge on it. So I think, as Mark describes, there'll be new innovations in voice for a lot of customers that will be relevant, but we see it on this steady decline.
Okay.
We'll keep the microphone coming down. You're done? Okay.
Hi, it's Paul Lutang from UBS. Just have one question in terms of cost savings, because we obviously had the announcement kind of last week at the group level, $1.5 billion of gross cost savings 3 years out. So we're just trying to understand within that, you know, what is coming from consumer. Can you maybe just give more color in terms of where the cost saving opportunities are specifically for consumer? I know you've obviously got the benefit in terms of the EE integration, but I'm just trying to understand the next phase.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't spit out obviously the cost savings by any divisions. I mean, we did say within that, you know, what we're doing is streamlining to become a more agile, modern company, so we can transform our operating models to give better customer experience to the millions of customers we serve. So that will be a reduction in, we talked about management and office roles essentially. However, we are investing in customer experience roles. And we did talk about, you know, the fact that we're bringing our call centers back to the UK, for example. There will be some roles that we're creating as we bring all of our service back to the UK. So there's different, I guess, plans according to the different units and the different priorities that we have. The two key investments are service and network for us, where we are increasing some roles, but reducing roles in management and streamlining there so we can become more agile and transform the operating model. Do you want to talk to the synergies, perhaps, Stephen? It's kind of what you said before. We found some more synergies.
Yep.
On top of the 400 million.
We continue to review our synergies. As Mark talked about, our customer service investment is an investment, but long-term it derives benefit, as it will cost us much less in the long-term to run our call centre operations as call costs reduce, as customers go more online and use our digital capability. Our retail estate, we continue to focus on expanding whilst reducing its cost base. And probably in the cost base of consumer division, running our frontline, our CS and retail operations are two of our largest costs. Both over time will absolutely reduce. And as Mark has touched on and even captured on my slide, at a top level, bringing consumer division together, there have been savings already at a senior management level, and they will flow through the organisation over time as well.
Question for Mark. When you became CEO of the merged consumer EE unit, what was the main thing that surprised you about the consumer unit?
Nothing really surprised me, because I've been in the business some time, worked closely with the colleagues, sat around the table with them and spent a lot of time with them. So there are no big surprises for me.
Hi, it's Guy Petty from Macquarie. A couple of quick questions, and part of this is based on my ignorance as well. When you thought about your branding strategy and putting BT within the EE store,
yeah,
I would have thought your target BT customer was very different to your target EE customer looking at that. So did you ever think about setting up dedicated BT stores in isolation? Because I imagine there could be a bit of a crossover. Yeah. Second question, on the gifting, do you see much consumer arbitrage of usage, i.e. there's massive EE bundles out there, 20 gigs for £20 or something. You can, one person could buy those and effectively gift merrily away to the rest of their family. And therefore, potentially, it becomes a route to arbitrage pricing and arbitrage usage. So just seeing any evidence of that. And then finally, more for more, you mentioned Germany, but in a lot of other markets where there's been more to more, it's now becoming more to less, having been more to more previously. Do you fear that by setting your price points, you just leave windows for people to come and undercut you? Because there are ways for other people to compete, even if it isn't identical.
Mm-hmm. But just quickly on the last question, this is why we have three brands, so we can play in different segments with different propositions and respond, if we need to competitors. We did have a look, on your first question, we did have a look at BT dedicated stores, but I think the question we had before around cost, these are an asset, and they're not always full every single minute of every single day. There are pockets of time where you've got space and low footfall, and if you can get that right, it becomes a very efficient way of both serving and selling.
an asset that already exists with rent and rates and people there. So, you know, having looked at it carefully, it would have been a relatively inefficient way of us spending shareholders' money, I think, rolling out dedicated stores, and we've already got 600 today. And perhaps on the other question.
Around Christmas time, one of the key things we were looking at actually is customer behaviour and what would actually happen. One of the key things we were looking at is arbitrage, and so there are a few things. Firstly, we do see a little bit of data arbitrage, but more than offset with multi-line sales within the household. And then the second thing that we're doing is also looking at which categories you can actually gift from. You can't gift from a watch, for example. You can't gift from the mobile broadband solutions and the home broadband routers. So we've looked at categories that you can gift from, and we've also looked at the actual usage and what's been happening. And so any arbitrage we've seen with data, we've seen more than offset with multi-line sales.
The NPS of those customers is super high, yeah. Very, very high. So likelihood to recommend and or buy another connection with us is great. I've got one question on the phone before I hand to you. So it's Robert from Deutsche Bank. Hi, Robert.
Yeah, hi there. Sorry, I'm not with you in person. One question, follow-up on the stores. I was very interested in the stat about a 5% increase in shops, but a net retail cost falling by 6%, I think it was. How would you define the net retail costs in that case? And how many shops are there today? Secondly, do you think the hybrid mobile fixed broadband router is a solution for slow rural broadband, or is that more of an urban technology where you've got the higher 4G densification? And last one's a really easy one. What's the logic of ESN being in consumer? Is that not really a B2B business? Thanks.
Okay, three questions there. So, Stephen, on the stores.
Stores operating costs, Robert, are all of our costs of rent, rate, heat, light, and the cost of the employees within the stores. That's why it's our total operating cost of the stores.
Thank you. Max, do you want to touch on
that? It is rural and
rural handover. The answer to the last question, I remember where the origins of consumer came. We, you know, ESN was an EE program, and that's why it's continued into the consumer unit.
Many thanks, James.
Bloxham at Bloomberg Intelligence. Two questions. One, again, on the stores. Are they all going to continue to be kind of essentially EE stores with BT in, or might you flip that and have some that are BT stores with EE in, depending on the context? And the second question is about fibre. I guess if you roll forward to 2020, Openreach is going to have 3 million fibre homes you can sell into, but there could conceivably be another, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 million homes on other platforms. Is it possible that as a consumer business you would look to do wholesale deals with those other platforms to improve your reach, or are you essentially going to be pushing Openreach to go as fast as they can to give you the coverage that you need?
Yeah, on the stores, you know, we are, as I said before, this is very much the first chapter of our journey. We've had a lot of experience. I've had personal experience, the team have. When we had Orange, T-Mobile, Everything Everywhere, and then EE stores, you've got to be very careful with branding with customers, particularly when you've got a customer base as large as ours, 30 million. The last thing we want to do is confuse anyone. So whether it be the 20 million EE customers or the 10 million BT customers we have. So put having a presence in the store to start with, customers learning, we'll learn, and then how that evolves over time, you know, is an interesting question. But I would expect the BT brand to have more prominence on the stores as we go forward, definitely. And we are pushing Openreach, you know, as all CPs are, to, you know, roll out network, you know, give us these great products as quickly as we can. Okay. Any other questions on this side of the room? You had one there.
Not really a question. I just need you to summarise some of the key dates, because there's been sort of a tsunami of all these press releases and
yeah,
information today. So I'm trying to understand things like Amazon or BT selling through EE stores, BT Plus 2.0, is it sort of October? If you were to sort of put together a slide with a few dates, is it possible to hit the big ones for me?
Okay, well, let's start with, I mean, Amazon
BT last, I could do.
You do BT, go through the
So data. BT, the sequence is BT Plus launches next week. Amazon Prime Video will be available on our TV platform in June. We will expand our BT TV app also in June and early July, Samsung TV, Chromecast and Apple TV. We haven't said the exact date for the second phase of BT Plus. We said the second half of our financial year. And I think, and Owen stores, by the end of the month, will be in over 620 EU stores for sales.
Yeah.
There are key dates.
And sorry, if I make EE and the £15
version. The merged portfolio is June with family gifting. Then July we have new flex plan and BT Sports. August we sort of enjoy, and then all of that just in time for a handset launch that might happen towards the end of the summer.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions over here? No. Got one more over there. We'll make that our last question, shall we?
Yeah.
So it's a follow-up from the presentation last week. I think Gavin said he was targeting 2.4 RGUs per customer over the life of the transformation plan, which I think is 3 or 4 years. And I think there's about 10 million relevant customers in consumer. That may change when you blend into EE. From which I take you're expecting to sell 4 million more products in the next 3 or 4 years. A, is that right? And B, if it is right, you know, are we thinking mobile, DT Sport, and TV is the three discrete products that you'd expect to grow most? I mean, I guess the broadband volumes aren't going to be huge over the next 3 or 4 years, a few 100,000 possibly. Is that the right way to think about that target? Is that what he's saying?
Well, the right way to think about it, is, as you say, is mobile and TV within the BT homes remains a big opportunity. We've done well on BT Mobile. We have a significant number of customers that don't yet have a mobile relationship with us on the BT brand in those 5 million homes. Broadband, tablet, smart home, BT Sport in the EE households, still got a big opportunity there. And then we also have, you know, the access to the 13 million homes that we don't yet have, plus the 3 million where we have both brands. The RGU number was an overall group number, so that, you know, comprises consumer, enterprise as well. But you're thinking about it in the right way in terms of how we extend the relationships with the brand reach that we have. Thank you. So I think that concludes the session. I'm looking at the IR team. So thank you very much for coming, everyone. Hope that was useful. We'll see you all soon. Thank you.